West Country Track Records on Radio X with Stephen Scone, the number one law firm for business.
Hello and welcome to West Country Track Records on Radio X. We're made in Devon all day, every day. And like many things, people and organisations, we're proud to be part of the best place in the world, the Southwest. I'm Paul Nero. Over the next few weeks, we're finding out more about some of the region's success stories in food and drink, in industry and sport, in business, the people behind them and what makes them tick. And tap their feet too. The music as well as their stories. And today's all about farming. We have Peter and Henry Gregg with us, and we'll meet them in a moment. It's West Country Track Records with Peter and Henry Gregg from Piper's Farm. So welcome to you both. So Peter, where did the farm originate? Tell us where it is actually.
Piper's is about 10 miles north of Exeter, between Broadclist and Columpton, just east of the motorway up in the hills. And Piper's Farm didn't exist at all until about May of 1989. The farm, when we bought it, was called Samford Land Farm. Such a mouthful of a name, and we were pretty sure we couldn't build a business based around that name.
So many farms go by the name of the area they're in. What's wrong with Samford?
It's just a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? In fact, you know, Henry and I put together a list of, was it six or maybe eight? Six potential names for the business. And we went into Exeter High Street and asked about 100 people what they thought was the best one. And all of them wanted Piper's Farm.
So you came, and this isn't about farming then, this is about branding.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely, definitely. We knew why we'd come to the West Country and what we were setting out to do.
Peter and I met when we were at university. It was part of London University, but it was the agricultural part, so it was down in Kent at Y College.
And why did you choose an agricultural college, given that you've got a farming background in yourself? Couldn't you just dig away and become farmers?
Well, one good thing about choosing a university was I ended up with a wife. So, and I
could the farmer have been, gets a wife.
Absolutely. I could have been digging in West Kent for a long time. I would never have come across the pot of gold I ended up with at uni.
That's Morning by Ev Vigrig. Quite a famous track.
It's something that we both absolutely love. We've both travelled in Norway. There is a thought that maybe Grieg and the Greggs were part of the same family.
Where did that come from then?
Way back, but we've been to his house and it's pretty special on one of the fjords there.
Edvard Grieg, I think, yes, our family folklore would say he started out as a Scotsman, and when he emigrated to Norway, he changed his name from Greg to Grieg. And so it could be he's an ancestor, but Henry would rightly point out that none of his musical talent ended up in my genes, that's for sure.
So there you are. You're at an agricultural college together. You meet, you go travelling. What brings you to the West Country?
We then farmed a high hill farm in Wensleydale for the first 6 years when we were married. Farming a north-facing peat farm going to 2,000 feet. A good solid foundation to our farming life together.
Up in Wensleydale, we were farming sheep and cattle because, frankly, that was all that you could farm up there. The farm was sold and we moved down to Kent to where Peter's family were growing intensive chickens for a chain of high street retailers. And that was a defining moment for us because we realised here we were young farmers, two small kids, and we were growing food that we wouldn't eat ourselves, and we thought we must be able to do something about this. And so that was when Piper's Farm was born.
In what way wouldn't you eat the food yourself?
Because of the way that we were growing, because of what we were feeding them. And we were feeding a lot of antibiotics. And even 28 years ago when we were doing this, we were saying, if everybody is eating this much antibiotic, at some point, everybody is going to have antibiotic resistance, and that's going to be a real problem.
And of course, that's what's happening now, isn't it?
And that is what has happened. And we've talked to, I mean, it's amazing because we've talked to medics over the years, and nobody has flagged it up. But now, of course, everybody's very aware of it.
And you were getting into that antibiotic and intensive farming because of the pressures of price and supermarket influence?
No, we did that because Peter's father brought intensive chickens over from the States in the 1950s. And he was still doing them, but he was getting older, and we went to join him for 18 months. But that was as long as we could take it. And we then looked around. We looked at about 80 different farms with the two boys, and who were still quite tiny, and we chose Piper's Farm.
And had a different way of life and a different way of farming. We'll come to that in a moment. We're with Peter and Henry Gregg from Piper's Farm. Tell me about Coldplay.
So Will, our younger son, was at school with Rich, who is Chris Martin's younger brother. And I can remember sitting with Anthony, their dad, watching a cricket match. And he said, oh, Chris's band has just been signed by Parlophone. And I said, oh, that's interesting. What's the name of the band? And he went, Coldplay. And I went, oh, that's a bit of a weird name. I don't know that's going to go very far. So anyway, so we followed Coldplay ever since, as you can imagine.
You've been buying the CDs through the years.
And we absolutely, and I have to say that there are moments in life when you think, oh my God, life is quite tricky, and Clocks seems to come on the radio, and I just think, yes, all seems much better.
You seem to have a change of philosophy when you came down here.
Yes, I think the philosophy was defined before we left Kent. It really was a life-changing moment because, as Henry says, if you're farmers and you're producing food that you aren't even prepared to feed to your young children, that feels all wrong. And also, we were very aware that if the customers in the high street were to stand and do the day-to-day farming that I was doing, looking after these chickens, they would probably never, ever eat chicken again in their lives. And so that set us on the path towards building our own business. And the other thing was that when I had been a kid, all of the neighbours were small family farms. And by the mid-80s, they had all gone in West Kent. And so we were determined to relocate, build a business in the heart of really strong family farming country.
And these farms had gone because, again, about something about the pressures of farming and economies of scale, they needed to be much larger enterprises, did they?
Absolutely. And you know, that close to London, the pressure on people buying houses just to live in as a dormitory was a big part of it. But you know, that was very clear to us. The global process of industrialising food production was just going to destroy smaller scale farming businesses.
And so when you've come down to Devon and you've chosen a farm, can you explain what kind of size and enterprise you wanted to build? It sounds like you wanted to be smaller, but still wanted to do something that was innovative and technologically had a lot of technological forethought.
Yes, I think we perhaps had not predicted quite how far the digital revolution would go. It's the family farms, though, that we wanted to harness their traditional resource. What they did, I mean, what our family farmers do is what their grandfathers did.
It's West Country Track Records on Radio X in association with Stephen Scone, with Peter and Henry Gregg. West Country Track Records on Radio X in association with Stephen Scone. And we're with Peter and Henry Gregg from Piper's Farm. So tell me about ELO and Mr. Blue Sky.
So this was a record, well, it was a cassette in those days.
Oh, I remember the record for ELO because yeah. It was blue. They had a coloured disc. Remember the days when they did coloured discs?
Well, we were travelling in Aussie. So we were needing something to stick in the car because we were travelling the whole time. And I gave Piper the cassette and the yellow cassette. And I wrote a message to him saying, I've come 12,000 miles to see you. I hope I never have to travel that far again.
So this is, Peter, one of your songs together. It's a bit like your first dance at the wedding.
Yeah. I've got to tell you, and some of this might not be broadcastable, to be honest, but... Yo, we'd had an amazing time at uni. We'd been together for the 3 years studying the same course. And although we tried hard not to appear as though we were an item at uni, we definitely were. We'd had an amazing time. 12 months apart, and we were on different planets. We really could hardly agree what day of the week it was, but we were travelling in the front of this Ford Falcon panel van, no air conditioning. So it was very hot. It was very, very dusty, and we were not getting on very well at all. I think that ELO track was perhaps maybe the one saving grace. It was the thing that just about held it all together.
Is he painting an awful picture, Henry?
It's true.
I tell you the one other thing. We stopped. We had a friend who was working on a farm in Mount Gambier, and I'd built this single bed in the back of the panel van for driving the whole way around the north alone. And we weren't getting on that well, and it felt like the bed wasn't really quite big enough. And we pulled in and stayed with Hugo at this farm, and I was working in the workshop on converting the bed in the back. And the Aussie mechanic came up to me. He said, "Oh, what are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm just making this bed into a double bed." "Oh, hell," he said, "it only needs to be one bum wide and two bums high." But in all honesty, it needed to be about 20 bums wide for that journey. We weren't getting on that well. It got better.
West Country Track Records on Radio X with Stephen Scone, the number one law firm for business.
Your music mix is a mix of classic popular music hits and classic hits, classical music. Where did Nimrod's Elgar fit into your repertoire?
I don't know. I think it's something that we love. We played it forever. Yes.
And remember when we were looking for the farm, as Henry said, we looked at 80 farms in 6 months. So when we'd moved from Devon, or moved from Kent to Devon, we lived in a winter holiday let at Manerton. And I was starting to teach myself to butcher in the shed. And then actually a bit later on, I was lambing all night. And so Henry often would do the driving. We'd have the two boys in the back of the car, and we drove thousands of miles. But looking at the 80 farms all on the outskirts of either Worcester or Exeter. And I have a feeling that apart from Postman Pat, and now we are six, and we could have taken a fresh degree in both of those, I reckon. But one of the things, particularly when we were up in Worcestershire, we used to love playing that that Elgar. It seemed like the right thing in the right place.
Yeah, Elgar, closely connected with Worcester, of course, and the Malvern Hills there. But you chose the right decision to come to Devon. So it wasn't just a toss of the coin. You had a good feeling about Devon and Exeter.
Yes, we certainly did. I mean, it was the farm we found, and it was amazing. Having looked at 80 farms, and we just felt we'd come home. It was amazing.
You look at 80 farms, and for those of us who are not farmers, aren't these just fields with a building attached? What's the difference between one farm and the next?
One of the things at that time, so it was 1989, the property market was just flying. And so many farms on the rich red soil that is around Exeter and around Worcester as well have those sort of cluster of farm buildings around a yard. And one of the problems for us was that any sort of farm building that could have been converted with planning potential was worth about £80,000 just as a shell. And so that, although they might have felt lovely and they just were not something we could afford, whereas the farm we ended up on, really there were no buildings of any substance there. There was a group of tin sheds, a bungalow with no foundations, but in an amazing location. And as Henry said, it felt like coming home, but I've got a feeling I'd been lambing all the night before. I was pretty much asleep. Henry nudged me and said, "We've landed."
Let's move on. Tell us about Crocodile Rock. Because you've had a bit of a Barney, haven't you, about your Elton John tracks?
We heard Elton John playing at Powderham. We have a little boat. We have a Drascombe. That's one of the things that we love doing when we're not on the farm. And there were about 50 boats down on the River Ex listening to Elton the time he came to Powderham. And I just remember thinking, what an amazing entertainer he is. And we had a lot of fun.
Yeah, a good boogie on board the boat. Yeah, just an amazing memory, that.
West Country Track Records. I'm Paul Nero, and we're with Peter and Henry Gregg from Piper's Farm. So you're in Devon now. You've got this wonderful farm. You've got two young children, and you've got this philosophy as well, which is to farm in a way that you weren't doing before. And one final thing from what you said a little while ago, which was about branding. How do you bring all these things together to create your business?
Whoa, it almost 30 years on, it feels relatively easy to say, but I've got to say it was not a simple thing to do. We had a completely clean sheet of paper. Nobody was thinking the way we were thinking at that time. I'd been to France, I'd been to the Paris show, I'd been incredibly inspired by the French food culture. The French farmers spending 3 hours sitting down eating their lunch. The food hall at the Paris show was enormous. The French, whether it was farmers or consumers walking in the high street, they were passionate about the food, the way it was produced. At that time, in this country, by contrast, the Royal Show, the food hall, was the size of most people's living room. Nobody was sitting down, everybody eating curled up ham sandwiches. There was a massive gulf between what we wanted to build, which was the Piper's Farm brand, and what just was the status quo. So it involved really everything. Henry and I worked out all of the details of the farming. We knew, you know, I'd said to my dad once, you know, Dad, your chickens are awful. And he said, yes, but they're consistently awful. And he said, remember, the high street is about consistency. And so we knew that we had to work out right at the start every detail of how we were going to farm, and then exactly how we were going to butcher it, and then we were going to build the business.
Wasn't your father suggesting something else, though, which was about the price that many people wanted to pay, and that the availability of cheap food effectively is what drives the market, or did at that time?
Yeah, I think it's a bit easier to look back now over the last 30 years, because actually the last generation of global food has not been driven by the consumer. It's been driven by the people who put the inputs into the food chain. So whether it's the pharmaceutical industry or whether it's the people dealing in the genetics or the animal nutrition, those are the people who set the agenda. And my dad said before he died, he said, when I pioneered this system of chicken farming, I never expected nobody to challenge the exponential growth of it. So the fact that chickens grow faster and faster and faster, they keep more and more in a house together, they process them in bigger and bigger processing plants. We would say that cheap food policy is fundamentally flawed. It doesn't actually work for anybody. Except
cheap at the point of delivery, but it's actually proving to be very expensive in the way of public health. You know, all this obesity, diabetes, all the rest of it, it isn't really cheap.
Henry, tell me about you two.
Just, this is another track that we just really love. As Piper has described, there's moments when we have worked incredibly hard and the music has belted out in the cutting room as we have been working crazy hours.
What's a cutting room?
The cutting room is where we process all the meat.
Right.
So now we have a team of butchers, but at the beginning it was just Peter and I.
And Peter, you said, I taught myself to butcher. There can't be too many people who say that.
No, but there was no option really. I was hugely inspired by the French style of butchery, and nobody in this country in the late 80s was doing that. And so the only option was to teach myself. But with a frying pan, and Henry and I, as she said, we were doing everything in those days. And the great thing about the French style of butchery is you pull carcasses apart muscle by muscle. And so as you take a muscle off, you cut a piece and you throw it in the pan, and you really get to understand how a carcass is put together. So it's very logical, and it just meant it enabled us to build a precise definition of what Piper's Farm product was about.
And for many people, that might sound quite gruesome in many ways, for people who are not connected to animals or the land. But you also talked about sustainability and your anti-antibiotic stance. There is a care for the animal in this?
Oh, enormous. Our very clear objective at Piper's Farm, above everything else, is to produce meat that is amazing to eat. We are in the pleasure business. We should, above everything, give people the chance to eat our meat and think, wow, and get pleasure. And frankly, the way you're going to do that is give the animals a fantastic life. You really taste an amazing life of an animal if it has been grown properly. And because everything we've done all these years is geared towards that, all of the detail, whether it's the breed or what we feed them or what age we grow them to or how long we hang them, everything is geared towards that.
And this is more than just you at Piper's Farm now. The farm has expanded, presumably, over the years. You have to find people to work with you or to be co-owners with you. How is the structure set up, and how do you choose people with a similar kind of outlook to yours?
What we set out to do was to help to sustain the smaller scale traditional family farms. So they were a resource which was basically producing animals in the way they had done before, if you like, the industrial revolution in farming. Because industrializing the production of livestock is a totally different process than the traditional methods. So when there were local food economies, there was a local food culture, everything was based around the local resource. So the native Red Ruby cattle that we grow, they're native to Exmoor because they will eat the wild Exmoor vegetation and convert it into mother's milk. Humans can't get any nutrition from the vegetation. Mother's milk is the best food on the planet. That is just a simple example of why we have tapped into the traditional resource of the smaller scale family farms.
Peter and Henry Gregg are the owners of Piper's Farm. It's West Country Track Records in association with Stephen Scone on Radio X. Henry, why Mumford & Sons?
We love Mumford & Sons. We could have chosen many different tracks. Peter chose this one. And this is for all the guys who are growing livestock for us.
How many people have you got on the farm?
We've got 25 family farms growing for us. And they're up on Exmoor, they're on Dartmoor, they're in the Ex Valley, and they are all producing directly for us.
So okay. Piper's Farm, let's just be clear for everybody, isn't just one farm with the fields and the cows and the farmhouse. You've got lots of people, lots of farms all over Devon.
Yes, that was exactly how we set it up. It's a 50-acre farm at Piper's Farm, and our objective always was to grow the business out of all proportion to the size of our farm. So we always knew that if we were going to grow the business, it was not about Henry and I working more and more hours day-to-day farming. We wanted to give the smaller scale family farms a chance to do what they do best, the day-to-day farming, looking after livestock in a traditional with traditional systems, doing that brilliantly. We wanted to bring that resource, the value of that, to the high street and convert it into cash, put cash into their bottom line to sustain them doing what they do best.
So are they, do you charge, what's the model here? Do you charge them as a franchise, or do you buy their products and sell it on? How does it work?
It is all part of a very carefully built structure that we're controlling every detail. So we might have a herd of breeding Red Rubies up on the top of Exmoor. The calves are brought down off Exmoor at a price that will sustain the breeding herd, and then goes into another piece of the jigsaw where a finishing farm will grow those cattle on. They too will make money out of the piece they do. And our job then is to bring that product to the high street so that everybody in the chain is making money. We have other farms. We have three separate breeding herds for our saddleback pigs. Another farm where they might be growing on the younger pigs. It's a jigsaw, if you like. We're controlling every detail and making sure that the value out of the product sold in the high street gets pushed back into these small family farms to sustain them.
What do you feel like now, Peter? Are you a farmer? Are you a brand expert? Are you, I don't know, a franchise dealer? What are you?
No, I think, I mean, one thing, Henry and I are such a strong team and have done everything together the whole way through this. And no, first and foremost, we're farmers. We're never happier than when we are actually working livestock ourselves.
But we also love to eat, and we love to eat what we've grown.
Let's have a look at family life and what the West Country means to you all. West Country Track Records on Radio X. So you've two sons. Are they parts of the business?
Will is very much in the business, working with us all the time. Ed is up in London, working for Deloitte Digital. So he's very handy for all the information that he can give us about, you know, the website, running the website and so on. So they're both very involved, but Will is actually here.
And at some point, you're going to want to go on forever? Is this the thing that until you drop off a perch sometime, you're going to be there butchering and looking after your animals and organising the branding?
I think it's very, very exciting to have young blood in the business. And it seems strange to be saying it, but for Henry and I, I guess we're the old ones that are supposed to be the wise ones. But all of the years of experience we've got are an important component, but combined with young blood, it feels like a really exciting mix. And so who knows where that mix goes going forwards, but it feels absolutely right. We're really encouraging the younger generation to come back onto the family farms we're working with. That's a very important dynamic.
And this isn't just your family, Peter. This is the families of the people in the farms which you work with.
Absolutely. And I mean, not long ago, we took on another family farm where it was true of many of those sorts of farms in the West Country. They'd just gone out of dairying, a mix of TB and prices on the floor. They had put in robots. I mean, they'd invested heavily. But it was crushing that combination was unsustainable. And I think they were at a very low ebb. And we've teamed up with them now. And both sons and their young families, I think, are now committed to coming back on the farm, growing pigs for us, turkeys for us, rearing lambs. That's really exciting. And for Henry and I, it's thrilling, to be honest. We couldn't hope that Piper's Farm had achieved more than that.
And have things changed over the last 5 or 10 years in a place like Exeter, where we've got the Exeter Festival of Southwest Food and Drink, we've got the Devon County Show here at West Point. More people are getting engaged with food and farming. Perhaps it's not just to do with the events here, but also things like television chefs showing us a lot more about the background of the food that we're eating.
Yeah, I think the Southwest is incredibly richly provided for in terms of a food culture. We would say the journey is hardly started, to be honest. There is still, you know, a long way we could go. And we, I suppose, would say that. We're full of energy and we've got a team of people in the business who want to take this whole journey of a really substantial local food culture. It's about much more than just labelling or a veneer on the top. These family farms are the absolute bedrock on the land, and I'm sure the same is true of the small day boats fishing around the coast. That's the bedrock of a really strong food culture, and we think that's got a long way to go. It's exciting.
It's been a pleasure to meet you both. Thank you for coming in and being part of the programme.
Thanks.
Thank you.
West Country Track Records on Radio X with Stephen Scone, the number one law firm for business.